The scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We came together just a week ago to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. And what a joyous celebration that was. The music was magnificent. At times it was breathtaking. Many of you participated. The messages given were inspiring and challenging to us as we thought about the reason that Jesus was sent to us. It is appropriate that we continue that celebration today through song and word. It is time for us to look at what the birth of Jesus means and what our response will be. When we think of the three kings looking up into the dark sky, and seeing that special star on a clear night, I marvel at how the world has changed. For centuries, people have used stars to navigate their path, to illumine the darkness, to help them find their way. It has now become rare that we see a clear night when the stars sparkle brightly. And when we notice it, we stop and we look and we marvel. I remember a time a few years back when Dave and I were vacationing in the Southwest and went to Big Bend National Park. Has anyone been there before? Oh, maybe not. If you're not familiar with it, it's in southwestern Texas and it borders Mexico. We were traveling alone, just the two of us, and there was not another car in sight. There were rolling hills and a lot of variety in the topography. We stopped in an area that was desert-like. We got out of the car and we turned off the engine. And I remember saying to Dave, "Shh, just listen." What we experienced was total silence. A rare occurrence today. There was not a cricket. Not a rustle of leaves, no human voice, just silence. I found that a most awesome and worshipful experience. That evening, we drove further on and stayed in an inn, and the stars were clear and spectacular. I could just picture the wise men following that star. So I decided to drag out a mat and sleep on the deck. And that lasted a few hours. I dozed and then would look at the sky and the stars until I heard thunder. I looked up and I saw a mountain lion leaping across the rolling hills, and he was just too close for comfort. So I came in. As we come to the close of yet another year, it is time when we typically reflect on the past. And with another new year before us tonight, we will be thinking about what the future holds. It is often a time we resolve to make changes in our lives. It is appropriate that we look both ways. We look backward and we look forward to the future. There's never a day goes by that we don't have choices to make. We can learn from past mistakes and build on our strengths to move forward with confidence into the future. In celebrating Christmas, we usually exchange gifts with those closest and dearest to us. One Christmas day, 53 years ago, my husband Dave and I brought our first newborn son home from the hospital. We named him Mark. Neither of us remember what gifts were exchanged that Christmas day, but we both have warm, fond memories of the miracle of that newborn baby. We would take turns holding him and being engrossed with his little mouth and head movements, as somehow he knew that it was time to be fed. We were in awe as we examined every little finger and every little toe. We've all oohed and aahed at babies who offer us a smile. And we're fortunate here to have that opportunity frequently as we share with many of you the joy of parenthood. Many of you here have had the joy of watching many of those infants grow into wonderful, loving young people. Oh, how they have changed, and oh, how the world we live in has changed. Things do not stay the same for very long. We live in a world that is in a constant mode of change. It is much different than it was just a few years ago. When we read or hear the news, we are distressed by the violence we see, and we wonder how we can love all people as Jesus taught us. Some people are very hard to love. How can we possibly love our neighbor as ourself? Who is my neighbor? That question was easier to answer when some of us were growing up many years ago. Perhaps some of you younger folks have heard your parents or your grandparents talk about those earlier years. I was raised in the country in the mid-20th century. We had neighbors few and far between. Living in the country, I had very few friends close to my age. My best friends were my two sisters, Catherine and Pat. We were each a year and a half apart, and I was in the middle. And I had a friend who lived next door, Dixie. We played with our dolls, and we worked in the garden together. We dug sand burrs out of the yard. And we practiced the piano every day without fail. My mother made sure of that. And we got into a few normal childhood squabbles. Now, Dave was raised nearby in a small town. And back then, it was safe to ride a bike in the street or find an open field in which to play ball. And his grandparents even lived very nearby, as well as aunts and uncles. Back then, sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, we took rides on the unpaved country roads in northern Indiana in our Studebaker. You've heard of Studebakers. I'm told there were a lot of Studebakers around Pennsylvania. Dave and I were both raised in and near South Bend, Indiana, and that's where they were made. So you can guess the kind of car my dad always bought was a Studebaker. That was my first car also, when I got a job and bought a car. I lived close to the state line, so we often drove into Michigan at times on those unpaved country roads. We had no television, and we weren't fed the news constantly throughout our waking hours. We went to Sunday school in the little country church. As young children, we were taught the commandments of Jesus, and I remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. My biggest concern in living out that commandment of loving neighbors was loving the boys. At that young age, we had nothing in common with boys and just sort of ignored them, tolerated them. It seemed to me that all boys were always yelling. They were running around like wild animals with runny noses, usually needing a bath. They were just generally a nuisance. Of course, that attitude changed dramatically as I grew into adolescence. I think God taught me a lesson as I ended up marrying one of them, and he gave us three sons and no daughters. As we grew into the teen years and adulthood, we started reading the papers and listening to the news on the radio. We had grave concerns for the world back then, just like we do now. We've lived through wars with unimaginable cruelty, many losing family members. Now, how the world has changed. Most of us have computers and televisions and cell phones. When was the last time you listened to the radio or read a newspaper? I suspect that some of you still read a newspaper. I know we get one in our house daily. Of course, I can't resist telling Dave that the news is a day old by the time he gets it. We are bombarded by violence 24 hours a day. It has become an addiction of needing to know what is going on all day and into the night. Who is our neighbor? The definition of neighbor seems to have changed. Now our neighbor may be living in a different state, even on a different continent, in a different country. Our neighbor may speak a different language, and perhaps they worship God in a different way than we do. All these people on this earth, and yet it is lonely and an isolated world for many. We have many people living within the greater Pittsburgh area who are in desperate need of acceptance and love, and some who are really hard to love. Some have given up on, have no hope of life. They've just given up. They have grown into despair and cannot see a God who is here for them. With all our attention focused on information coming at us day and night, it is hard to look around and to see our neighbor. We are being constantly bombarded with information, whether it be an incoming text, checking for new Facebook updates, or perhaps the news coming through 24 hours a day. Dave learned a lesson some 30 years ago about the need to keep his eyes open and look around, to be alert, to look both ways. And it's a lesson he hasn't forgotten. We were on a cruise vacation in the Bahamas with our youngest son, Dennis, when he was in high school. As we docked in Nassau, we got off the ship to walk around the town. As we were about to cross the street in that busy town, Dave looked to the left and the coast was clear for us to start across the street. As he led the way and stepped into the street, a very fast car coming from the right nearly hit him. You may recall that Nassau was formerly a British colony where they drive on the opposite side of the road. He has never forgotten that incident. He could have easily been killed that day. It was scary. He failed to look both ways. He looks back on that incident as a dramatic learning lesson, one he hasn't forgotten, and neither have I. As we enter the year 2018, it is a time to resolve that we will look around us, that we will do our best to live up to the mandate from our text this morning. We will clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and show patience. We will do our best to bear one another's burdens and to forgive one another. We will put love first. We will do our part, our little part, in bringing peace to the world. Those of us who continue to have faith in a good God will be used by Him to encourage those who have lost all hope, those who are desperate. It's our job to remember that there is hope and to reach out to those desperate, hurting people. It's a hard job, but it's a job we can't ignore. I firmly believe that to offer hope to others starts with listening, really listening, without interrupting. We're all familiar with the saying, there's a reason we have two ears and one mouth. We need to listen more than to speak. Yes, we need to resist immediately giving our opinion and advice. Until people are able to express what is bothering them, what is eating them up inside, they can't be open to suggestions. They first need to build a bit of trust in us. Christian hope reaches for support from others who walk with us, friends who are there for us through our trials and our doubts. We lean on one another as we share that Christian hope. Acts of love and hope to another need not all be large and monumental. Most often they will be small and mundane, a touch, listening quietly, sharing a tear, holding a hand, a hug, a prayer. We all can show acceptance and love to people whom God puts in our path. The bottom line is, hurting people need someone who is doing his or her best to express God's love. Someone who treats them as a trusted, treasured child of God. We sometimes feel overwhelmed when we listen to the problems that are tearing another person apart. We don't have easy answers. Perhaps we have no answers at all. But if our concern and love is felt, we have been obedient to Jesus' mandate that we love others as ourselves. God's love makes a difference in this hurting world each and every day. Let us pray. Loving God, as we enter a new year, we need your help to become more loving, to be patient and kind when others are hurting. Help us to be good listeners, listeners with hearts of compassion. Teach us how to love even those whom it is so difficult to love. We know that they are all your children who need and deserve kindness and love. Guide us that we may be your hands and feet in this troubled world, that desire for peace may become contagious. It is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus that we pray. Amen.